You know, I'm sitting here thinking as I'm watching Tony and Pam and Joe and his, I'm thinking they ought to declare January 3rd through the 10th like a national holiday to just rest to celebrate getting over Christmas and New Year's. Because I was sitting there thinking yesterday, Valerie and I and my family, we just got a chance to breathe, man. I mean, we sat around, did nothing yesterday. You didn't even take off your pajamas until later, right? So it's time to go to bed. Man, I can't. And as I'm looking back and I'm thinking of all the great things that have happened over here over this past, you know, few months and all the stuff that happened over Christmas, what a blessed time. Amen. We had so much good stuff happening here. And the more I thought about it, I all of a sudden I drew a blank because I couldn't all of a sudden remember actually listening to any Christmas carols. How'd that happen? Even when I had really bad singers jamming it in my ears, I don't remember any of the Christmas carols we sang. One of my favorite Christmas carols, you guys know this one? Said the night wind to the shepherd boy, do you see what I see? See, I can do this, Tony. You're fired. Wise guy. a star, right? Dancing in the night, tail as big as a kite. What an awesome song. It's one of my favorite ones, and yet I do not remember hearing it throughout the entire Christmas season. You know that song came out in 1962, the same year that James Bond hit the silver screen. You know what that song's about? I mean, seriously, do you know what that song's truly about? It's about two moms who wrote that song because they were afraid of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And part of that song, the inspiration, Pray for Peace Everywhere, was because they saw moms pushing strollers in Central Park. And they were afraid. It wasn't made famous until 1963, till a guy named Bing Crosby. You ever hear of this cat? I don't know if you ever heard of him or not. He's pretty famous. He was in White Christmas. He sang this song on the flip side to the little drummer boy. You're ever in jeopardy and you win $1 million. The star. It's all about the star. We know from all the writings of the times that there was this great expectation that God was about to do something big. He was about to do something so big that people just couldn't wrap their head around how a person, he was going to bring a person into the world, a king that would deliver people out of bondage. It's not just in the Bible. You've got Greek and Roman and Josephus, the Hebrew historian, all wrote about the coming of this king. And so the wise men story that we're going to focus about, it's like Joe said, it's not about them, but about what they brought. Three. We the three kings of Orient are. We don't know there's three. Could have been 100. They certainly didn't travel by themselves. Guys of such stature. But yet there's three. Why? Because three gifts. That's all they could carry, right? Why do we think that they... I mean, I put in here... In this story, that what's unique about this to me is of the four Gospels, Matthew is the only one that gives any acreage to this story. He's the only one. As a matter of fact, Matthew is so unique. Matthew, the birth of Christ, Matthew gives two sentences. Two. And most of them focus on Joseph. And yet he gives a whole chapter to three cats from the east. Why? Why would you give a whole chapter of the Bible to men from Persia who did nothing more than gaze at the stars? So today I'm going to take you through the first part of chapter 2. And we're going to look at some really cool stuff in here, all right? So will you pray with me? Father God, my question for you today is why? As we give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving, Lord, and all the wonderful things that we do here, Lord, we still have so many questions of why. Why did Matthew, Lord, give so much text to men, non-believers? And yet we as your family, Lord, as your as sons and daughters of Christ, Lord, we come here today wanting to know more. So God, as we unpack this passage today, Lord, would you just open our hearts? Help us to understand, Lord, the importance of men from the east bearing gifts to your son. And Lord, how we can apply this to our lives. Lord, we thank you for everyone who showed up here today. Lord, and we thank you for all those who joined online. And God, we just thank you for us to be able to gather and praise and sing joyous to you. So God, help us. Cleanse us, Lord, now so that we can receive what you call us to receive. And all this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 2. I actually brought glasses today. And no, I did not get them for Christmas. Chapter 2 in Matthew is called the visit of the wise men, or maybe you've heard them as the Magi. It says, now after Jesus had, and Joe stole my thunder, so thanks, Joe. Got me, Bo. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and having come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And they, assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where is the Christ to be born? And they told him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I originally titled this The Coming of the King. But the way Antonio never told me, I thought, yeah, the three wise guys would be all right. The three wise men. This passage. Can you guess what this is all about? Is it about the star? Is it about the wise men? No. You know what this is about? It's about finding Jesus. It's all about finding Jesus. So in that thing that I do, I want to show you three things in here. First off, we need to believe the word of God. Amen? Second, we need to follow the will of God. And finally, we need to worship God. Okay? So let's start with, we need to believe the word of God. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 said this. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. I hate that every crash, every nativity scene, everything about this star shows three dudes on camels. I hate that. I hate the fact that that we have made so many assumptions about who these men are instead of focusing on the importance of what they did. These guys would never have been, wise men, they would have never been traveling alone. If they were such high-ranking officials, they would never be like in the Christmas movies where you see three guys riding camels alone in the middle of the desert. Never happened. And then, as we said earlier, why three? Why three? Because there was three gifts. Why were there only three gifts? I'll tell you why. Because they missed Black Friday. You think that's it? Think it's Miss Brad? The other thing that God kind of revealed to me? This is a regifting from a white elephant. Early church tradition had that there was at least 12 of these guys. And then when that didn't kind of work, they narrowed it down to three. And even better, you know what they did? They said they were kings. And then when they said they were kings, they gave them names. You know what their names are? Balthazar, Caspar, and Melchior. There's nothing in the Greek that supports that. I just want to tell you. There's nothing in the Greek New Testament that supports any of that. But we know that they were teachers, and we know that they were from Persia, Persia being the east. That's what everything was referred to. Because, see, as wise men in the Persian sphere, they were skilled. They were skilled in philosophy. They were skilled in science. They were men, and they were holy, and they were wise, and they were interpreter of dreams. They were men of science, and they looked to the stars, astronomy. And they thought that the stars ruled men, and so they were into astrology. You see, the Magi believed that the stars controlled man's destiny. The question for us, though, is, how'd they know the star? How'd they know it was his star? Have you ever asked yourself that? How did they know it was the star, and specifically his star? Well, I'm here to help. You're welcome. You have to go back a little farther in the Old Testament to a guy named Daniel. You ever hear of this guy? Daniel and his friends, Hanani, Azariah, and who was the other one? Mishael? We know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? We know that's who we know them as. See, when Nebuchadnezzar, he brought the exiles out, he saw these guys, and he says, I want people to help me understand the Jewish people. So he said, pick out the best looking and the smartest. And he got these four guys. So when these guys, holy and astute and learned as they were, when they left Israel, right, they brought Torah with him. They brought the scriptures. And so they taught the scriptures to the Persian Empire. And they became studied. First five books. Listen to what it says in the book of Numbers. I see him, but now I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Jacob, another word for Israel. Scepter, the sign of a king. So they had an understanding that a king was to be born in Israel. But what I want you to take home right now, listen to me. If you take home nothing else today, listen to what I'm about to say. That star did not lead the wise men to Jerusalem. Hear me. God's word led them to Jerusalem. It wasn't a star. It was God's word. The star was the guide. God's word was the map. It's that way for us as well, isn't it? What do we search for? God gives us this great and wonderful map called His Word. We can see God in the heavens and we can see God in our surroundings, but only God's Word leads us to Jesus. Only God's Word leads us to Jesus. And the only way we're going to find Him is searching the Scriptures the same way that the wise men did. So let me say that again. Only the Bible can lead us to Jesus. Okay? Number two, we have to follow the will of God. We have to follow the will of God if we want to find Jesus. Listen to what Herod said. He said, Herod, the king heard this, he was troubled. Jerusalem was troubled with him. And assembling the priests and scribes of the people, he inquired about where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, Bethlehem. Because God's word said, and it said, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained them what time the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may too come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, listen. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. 1,300 miles they had followed this star. As a guide, they had followed this star. The star, rose in the west, because that's what stars do. And so they followed him, east to west. They followed this star. But it only took them to where? Jerusalem. Because where do you search for a king? It's not a trick question. A palace, right? A palace is where you search for the king. So they went into this palace and they see Herod and they say, where's the king that we want to pay honor to him? We saw his star. Well, that just wigged old Herod out. I'm the king. And then, of course, you know, all the guys around him, all of a sudden they got all scared too. Like, what's going on here? So he inquires among the priests and the scribes. He says, tell me more. And so they go and they find the scriptures and they tell him about Bethlehem. The writings of Micah, he says, you Bethlehem in the land of Judah, by no means are least among the rulers of Judah. And for you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They say, Bethlehem. You want to hear the kicker of this whole story right here? The folks that are supposed to have faith, the Jewish people, didn't believe. The wise men who came from the east, who don't have faith, say it with me, believed. Irony. Here's the Jews not believing and the wise men believing. And it gets even better when they find out about Bethlehem, because they didn't have this portion. They didn't have Micah, remember. They only had their little portion of the thing. So they find out about Bethlehem. So this is the coolest part. This is the cool part about how God works, right? They had been following the star east to west, and all of a sudden, the star goes from the west south to Bethlehem. What? What? For 1,300 miles, they'd follow this south. They'd follow this star to the west, and now all of a sudden, Bethlehem. And the star shines over the house where the Christ is. Every single day, God shows us the pathway to follow him. God always shows us the path to follow him. And every single day, God says, if you just come to me, if you just follow my will, I will show you. I will take you someplace that a place where you, it's beyond wonder. A place filled with peace and hope, compassion, love, forgiveness, a place of redemption. I will take you to that place if you just follow my will. You want to know Jesus? I mean, seriously, let's just ask this question right now of ourselves. Do we really want to know Jesus? And if your answer is yes, then we have to search his word and we have to follow his will. Finally, if we want to know Jesus, really know him, we have to give him the worship that he deserves as the Son of God. We have to give our worship to Jesus. So listen to what the wise men did. Remember, wise men, guys who don't believe, right? It says that going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Not a stable, not a manger, a house. They went into the house and they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And they opened up their treasures, giving him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Y'all got to get glad kind of the Christmas season is behind us a little bit. I'm not talking about from the spiritual side of it, but from the whole chaos. Because I see some tired people in here. And I look around and I know that there's some tired people who are sitting home like, man, I hope I can get up this morning. To you out there, we love you. We wish you were here. Sometimes we too, in the middle of all this, we forget that what's important. We forget about having to just take time in worshiping God. Last night, Christmas Eve, we had a beautiful service in here, amen? We had a beautiful service in here. We got to baptize folks. We got to take communion with each other. We got to love on each other. What a beautiful time. Bible says they got to the house and they saw Mary and they saw the child and they fell down and they worshiped him. They worshiped a child, a baby. Let's put some perspective on this. In the Greek, the word children is shut up. I'm waiting for everybody to catch on here. Am I the only one that grew up in here understanding that children were meant to be quiet? Huh? Do not speak unless spoken to. Children should be seen and not. That's unless, of course, you're grandkids, right? Grandkids are what we call parental payback. Amen? Y'all feeling me on this one, right? Because what grandkids get? Everything. Mom, don't give them that. Hush. It's my grandbaby. I'll do what I want. Heck yeah, that's who we are. We love our kids, man. But in those times, man, a child was more like a commodity. And yet, here these guys are with all their wealth and all their, and they fall down and they worship the child. They came to see the king. Not knowing that he wasn't going to become a king, because he was already a king. He came into the world a king. He came in to the world King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Mary and Joseph went over to Kohl's and they signed up the guest registry. And since they couldn't check the box for gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they put normal things on there like diapers. But the wise men brought their treasures. That's what it says. The Bible said they brought treasures. They brought gold. Gold fit for a king. Gold is something that a king would have. They brought gold. They brought frankincense. Frankincense signifying that the child was to be a priest. Because frankincense was what the temple priest used in First and Second Temples. An incense of the priest, Christ being our priest in the order of Melchizedek, right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Doesn't it say this? And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Priest, he ministers to God on our behalf. Even frankincense. And then this last one tripped me up. Myrrh. Why myrrh? Myrrh is not something that I, in my worldly self, myrrh is not a gift. If I had a choice of three gifts, myrrh is not one that I would offer to a child. Myrrh is a spice used to anoint the dead. It was used by ancient Egyptians as part of the embalming process. As a matter of fact, listen to what Nicodemus did. When Arimathea, Joseph brought Jesus to the tomb, it says, Nicodemus, the man who had early visited Jesus at night, Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. So they took the body of Jesus and they wrapped it in linen cloths with spices according to the Jewish burial custom. Myrrh as a gift was for one who was about to die. Christ giving himself up for us. Remember on the third day, Mary and the ladies went out there to bringing even more spices to anoint the body. But yet here we have them signifying who Jesus is, King, Priest, Savior. I'm going to start winding this up. I got a couple more passages I'm going to give to you today, but I'm going to start trying to land this plane. Bible says this. It says they opened their treasures, that they gave their best. Should be for us. Should be that way for us as well. Book of Colossians, whatever you do, work heartily as if the Lord and not for men, knowing that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. And it ends with this. It says, remember, you are serving Christ. That's what it means to give your best. That's what it means. It means giving our best in our work and in our family and in our service and in our obedience and in our worship and everything. We give our best. As we get ready for our time of response, I want to leave you with this one last nugget. And I opened this sermon up that I was like, why would Matthew give so much real estate in the scriptures to the Magi? Why would he give so much space to Gentiles? Because it serves as a reminder that all the world will come to Jesus. It serves as a reminder of the importance of why Jesus sends us into the world. You see, family, listen to what I'm telling you real quick. Their story is our story. Dr. James Meredith, a friend of mine who helped me out with my doctorate program, he said this. He said, we look everywhere to find answers for our lives. Amen? We do. All the while, it's right here in the Word of God. All the while, it's right here in the Word of God. We do everything searching for meaning and for purpose, and yet it's still right here. Meaning, purpose, it's right here in the Word of God. And it's only right here that we can find our purpose. You guys have a good Christmas? Yeah? Christmas is a time that if we don't check ourselves can become a time of worship on idols. Things that we give our worship to, things that we find fulfilling, and things that give us hope. Yet, the hope that we seek can only be found in the living Son of God. Listen to what Psalm says. And this is where we're going to go, Tony. Psalm 95:6 says this. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. So as Tony and them lead us in a time of response, come, bow down and worship. It's what wise people do.